Welcome to Tanya, Defining Tanya. We're up to Ois Zion. Okay, Zwizus. Definition of Zwizus. Well, Zwizus, I never heard the translation that they give is alacrity, yeah? That no non-from Jews know what that means. You only know what it means because that's what they translate Zwizus as. So no one actually knows the word alacrity other than because that's how they translate it in Mrs. Yasharin. Yeah.
I know from attorney that used the word in a letter, and the responding attorney didn't know what it meant. He looked it up, and so in response, he wrote a response using the word alacrity like 10 times in his response just to like give it back. But he's like, I never heard of this word before.
Yeah. So, Zresus is an outgrowth of Simcha. Zwizus doesn't mean quickly. I think the best definite. I think the best what's it called? The best definition for Zwizus is effectively, meaning because you can do things quickly and sloppily, but Zwizus just means it's like with the minimal. It's as quickly as possible, but it's still good. Yeah, it doesn't like because speed gets smacks of of sloppiness. So that is what Zwizus is. Zwizus is like when you've got a burning desire, when you're on a mission. Somebody who's on a mission has Zwizus. Somebody who has a mission, somebody who's on a mission has Zresus. See that mission, when you have a real mission, that becomes your lifeblood. If you've ever had a real mission, yeah, or you've internalized your Yiddish mission, yeah, that's the energy that coursing through your veins. That engenders Zwizus. So that is it is Talui on Simcha because Simcha is a clean a clean expression, meaning there's no ikuv in the process of going through. The emotions are flowing. Yeah, there's basically no, when a person's besimcha, the way it goes, yeah, the system is, you have Ratzon that is ordered through Seichel that gives birth to Midas, emotions, that are expressed as behavior. That's the system. Ratzon, Seichel, Midas, behavior, and it's like a kind of a tzinur, like a pipe. So, Simcha is when that pipe is completely clean, and the movement from Ratzon through Seichel through Midas, which is really what Simcha is about, is by the Midas. It's really talking about the pipe between the pipe of the Midas, really. But either way, it's when that channel is clean, and that's called that Simcha. That's called, and that's why it's called Simcha. Is also called Psichas Alev, the openness of the heart. It means you're available to emotion, and that means that's the reason why somebody who's Besimcha will also hate much more than someone who's not besimcha. He will love much deeper, and he will fear much deeper, and he will hate much deeper. Everything will be deeper. All the emotions will be deeper. So that's that, yeah. Whereas somebody who's depressed, which is atzvos, that's called timtum alev, where the heart is clogged up. Timtum is mutum tam, means to be atum, is a like to get itum, is it called an itum? is when your blood, when your drain is blocked. Yeah, it's also called a stima. But itum, also no, sti not stima. Itum is like when you waterproof your roof. What do you call ceiling? Not with a C, with an S. Ceiling. Yeah, so that's the Lashon Itum. So Timtum Alev means the heart is blocked up, and that means you're unavailable. You're unavailable. You're emotionally unavailable. So Simcha is the opposite of that, and that engenders Zrizus. That is the Makor Zrizus. To say it comes from Simcha, I don't know if that's correct, but without Simcha there can't without Simcha there can't be Zrizus. Because Zrizus is when the thing is flowing and the mission is kind of coursing through your blood. That's Zrizus. Okay. You could translate that as enthusiastic. Enthusiasm. And that's and I think the you know what the enthusiasm means? One second. What is the etymology of enthusiasm? I think it means that you're possessed by God. Ism is God. Greek, it's from, yeah, possessed by a God. That's what enthusiasm means. Shalom Laser. We just defined Zrizus. But yeah, it means possessed by God. Inspired by God. That's what it means. Yeah. It's got it all written down there. Anyway, okay. So that's Zrizus. Okay. Okay, that's Zion. Ches. Chitzoinim. So Chitzoinim, there's really Chitzoinim, Situachra, and Klipa. Are all the same, referring to the same phenomena. They give you different, they give you different insights into that same idea. But Chitzoinim is referring to, excuse me. I mean, we know what Klipa is, yeah? Klipa and Sisra is the means by which Hashem uses to create your illusion of self. The fact that you feel as an independent, the reason why you feel independent and not part of a big machine is because of Klipa and Sitra Achra, which creates Hestapanim. Hestapanim is the panim. Means face, yeah. You recognize someone from their panim. You don't recognize them from the back. You recognize them from the front. Yeah, that's where you recognize a person. So Pnimius, you've got Pnimius and Hester panim. So Hester panim, you know, it means the concealment of the face. What does that mean? It means that you're seeing Hashem's chetzonius, meaning you're seeing something that Hashem kind of has to do rather than wants to do, in a sense, kaviyochol. Meaning he has to, he wants us that he wants that we choose him. He wants that we choose reality. Yeah, that's what he wants. So Bechira is now, so to speak, a necessary evil. In fact, the truth is in Torah, the way I understand it is there's only such a thing as necessary evil. All evil is necessary evil, meaning it's a means to an end. It's not like Hashem doesn't have the ability to not, you know, he's choosing to have evil, not because he wants evil, but because he wants you to choose good. And if there was no evil, then you wouldn't be able to choose good. So that's called Hester Panim, because he's concealing his face. So you see, so there's evil. Yeah. So what do people say? So you've got the chevra in the world who say, well, there's one of two options. You agree that evil exists, So either God is not all good or he's not all powerful. That's the two options, yeah? But no, that's not true. The third option, which is the actual option, the way we understand it, is that evil is necessary for his ends. So it's a means to an end, meaning he's, it's not like in, in Notius where there's this kind of runaway evil force in the world. Yeah, that's not the Inyan at all. In Yiddishkeit, the Rabbeinu Shlomo is the only force, and all evil comes from him also. But it's not what he wants. So now you look at that evil and you don't see his face, meaning you now like like everyone will say, well, he's either not all good or he's not all powerful. So you're not seeing him because he is good and he is powerful. So if you think he's either not good or not powerful, then that means you that means his face has been concealed. That's called hestapanim. So hestapanim is giving us the ability to choose tov, meaning by presenting us with ra. So that's hestapanim. Yeah, which is sitra'acha, which is klipa. What does klipa do? Klipa is a it's a cover. That's what a klipa is. Yeah, it covers over. Like, so when you look at an orange, if you never saw an orange before, you wouldn't know what's inside. It conceals the fruit. The only reason why you know that inside an orange peel, the ball of an orange is a fruit, is because you've eaten one before. But you wouldn't know that if you hadn't seen that. There was also an inyan of the klipa in some way revealing the pre, which is why the orange is orange and why the banana is yellow. And even why the avatiach, the watermelon, is green and the inside is red, that's the opposite color. There's still the klipa does have connection to the klipa isn't always the klipa is not something separate. It's hard to talk about it because it is something separate. But is the klipa separate from the orange? You know, I could argue both ways. Yeah, that's the inyan. That's exactly the point. It comes from the orange. It develops with the orange. So it's in that sense it's one, but it's the and that's the inyan of chitzonim. Chitzonius means it's the furthest level from the being himself. And that's why it can conceal. And that's interesting because when you talk about chitzonim, yeah, what would you say? An external person, yeah. Go to Rodeo Drive, and you'll meet. You know, you probably won't take you long until you bump into somebody who's very chetzoni, very external. What does that mean? What do we mean when we say when we call someone external? The guy's very external. What does that mean? What are we saying?
Superficial.
So gone. Well, what would that mean? Like that, like, you're right. But what, like, what? How would that, like, for example, what would he do? Give me an example of something a superficial person would do.
Well, he would wear or they'll drive. He would wear clothing with a lot of logos or prominent recognition, Prada, Gucci, Louis Vuitton. But
For what?
he cares because he cares about someone else's opinion. He wants their
Yeah.
validation.
So what that means is, see, there's two reasons why you wear a watch. There's the old reason, which was to tell the time, yeah, and then there's the status symbol of, my Rolex. I don't have a watch, but my Rolex, yeah. So now the purpose of a watch is to tell the time. When someone is chetzoni, external, again, it's the whole idea of klipa. His watch has become a means to an end, meaning it's being used for an ulterior motive. That's what it means to be chetzoni. To be external means your swimming pool is not for you to swim in. Your swimming pool is for other people to know that you have a swimming pool. It's all ulterior motive. Everything's an ulterior motive. Yeah. So that's the idea of chitzonim. Okay, Tess. Now we're cooking with gas. Toiv v'ra. Go on. You guys have been in my shoe for long enough now. Definition of how do you translate toiv and ra? Definition of Tov and Ra.
Good and bad, literally.
Selfless and selfish. Transparent and opaque. That's, by the way, Ra is also another code word for Chetzonim, for Hestapanim, for Klipa, for Sitra Achra. Again, the same idea. Ra is well, see, Ra actually comes from Loshon Teruah, which and Reya, V'ahavta L'Reyecha Kamoicha, separate, and a Roya is a shepherd. What's the Kesha? It's all from the word Teruah. Teruah is the note from the shofar that goes do 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 do. Yeah, it breaks up. So the idea of Ra is brokenness, is fragmentation, separation, fragmentation. That's why it's v'ahavta l'reyecha kamoicha. Love your reya, is your friend, mean the one who's kind of broken off from you, meaning he's of you. Depends how you look at it. He's a part of you. So love your reyecha. And a roya tzon, so what's that? What's the kesha between that and a roya tzon, a shepherd? Why is he also loshen ra, resh ayin? Is because the shepherd deals with lots of separate sheep, but he brings them together. So it has the two opposite meanings. It means ra, evil, and reah, meaning friend, but it's the same core concept, the idea of separation. The question is, are you bringing it back together or are you keeping it separate? So that's ra. Ra is the, ra is, well, Ra is only possible because of the Hestaponym. Ra means that you are a person who is evil, is selfish. Now, well, you could, well, so you've got two, there's two kinds of selfishness, yeah? Well, there's two qualities of selfishness. There's the selfishness of you don't exist. And there's the selfishness of only I exist. So in clinical terms, the selfishness of you don't exist is called psychopathy. Like a psychopath doesn't have the ability to recognize that another human being is anything more than just a piece of wood. To him, another human being is literally, he doesn't have any emotional connection to that person. That person is literally a piece of furniture or a stone, no different. That's a psychopath. A narcissist says only I exist. They're two different things. Then it's a very kind of subtle nuance between them, but they're two different things. Now, when they come together, yeah, only I exist and you don't exist. Now, that person's probably going to be very obnoxious and unlikable, etc. Yeah. But you don't have Ted Bundy yet, you machshemoy. You have to throw in another element to end up with the Ted Bundy, you machshemoy, is sadism. Like the love of hurting, of pain, just because you don't, just because the other person doesn't exist, and just because only you exist, that doesn't mean you're going to hurt people. But like, you won't care if you hurt someone, but that's not your pleasure. But when it all comes together and you get those two personality disorders, plus anything that happened in the person's life that gave them that time for inflicting pain, then you end up with a Ted Bundy, you machshemoy. So that's the epitome of Ra. In my mind, he's the epitome of Ra, more than Hitler, you machshemoy, more than any More than anyone else that I know of, I'm sure there are other people who equal his Ra, but I don't think you can get more Ra than him. Just for total self, just for total pleasure, for his own personal pleasure. And his personal pleasure happened to be the torturing of other people, Rahman al-Islam. So, I was going to say. Completely went my head. Okay, so that is so Toivin Ra really just means, oh yeah, that was what I was gonna say, is how important are you to yourself? The more important you are to yourself, yeah, that's Ra. And if you become ultimately important to yourself to the point where everybody else stops existing, then then the person's getting towards the level of Pari. Now, the way a really nice way of talking about this is the idea of how, when you talk about how important you are to yourself, we can discuss the idea of how important your pleasure is to you. That's really the most articulate way of speaking about it. How seriously do you take your pleasure? The more seriously you take your pleasure, I'm not talking about experiencing pleasure and enjoying pleasure, but how seriously do you take your pleasure? That is a gauge of where you are on the selfish scale, on the Ra level. And remember, everyone's like, "Oh, that's not Ra, that's just." But we're talking about the Tanya definition of Ra, which doesn't mean you're walking around with a machete, hacking people to pieces and raping and pillaging. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that at all. Yeah, so it's this idea of how seriously you take your pleasure. So a Rasha, this is a really good working definition of Rasha and a good working definition of Tzaddik. A Rasha will put you out for his pleasure. He will inconvenience you for his pleasure. I mean, the ultimate Russia, again, Ted Bundy, Yimach Shamoy, he would really put you out for his pleasure. He'd mamash put you out. And he'd have, and he'd bet his take, he'd take his time over it as well. Yeah, that's the ultimate. But the guy who would, like, I was just learning the Gemara today of a guy who tricks, this guy has his field. A guy, or whatever it is, he tricked this guy into buying his field off a guy who he said stole his field from him because it was easier to get the field back from this innocent guy who bought the field than from the thief himself. That's a Russia. Meaning he screwed up this innocent guy so that he could get his field back. That is a Russia. And you have to be very, very, I mean, if you want to be OCD on anything, yeah, then be OCD. Well, first be OCD on your work. In fact, maybe you should be OCD on this first. Be OCD on never taking away from anyone. Never negatively affecting anyone in any way. That's a good thing to be OCD about. And then immediately after that is be OCD on your word. And then I don't know if there's any other place for OCD. That's why Hashem invented OCD. So number one, you won't hurt anyone. And number two, you can take your word really, really seriously. So the Rasha is the person who will inconvenience you, who will put you out for his own pleasure. And the tzaddik, this is Mode. The tzaddik, and we're not talking about the tzaddik gam or the tzaddik shein, the regular tzaddik, the human tzaddik, he wouldn't put himself out for his own pleasure. He wouldn't put himself out for his own pleasure, meaning if he was sitting on a relatively uncomfortable chair. Yeah. And there was a more comfortable chair next to him, and there was absolutely no benefit. That comfortable chair proffers no benefit in his avodas Hashem. He wouldn't be matriarch himself to get up and sit in it. Meaning to him, he could appreciate, he would get pleasure from sitting in that chair. But pleasure to him is not part of the cheshbon. See, most normal people fall in between these two sides, where most human beings wouldn't put somebody out for their pleasure, I think. I think we could assume that. Most people are generally good, I think, definitely there are who would, but I'm saying, aloiv, I think most people are generally considerate, I think. That's what I think anyway. That's what my dad taught me. And I like, if it's not true, I like to think that anyway. So you've got everyone falls in between these two levels. There's the Russia who will negatively affect you for his pleasure, and there's the tzaddik who wouldn't negatively affect him. He wouldn't be matriarch himself for his pleasure. How do you say matriarch? Watch it.
Traveling.
He wouldn't trouble himself for his own pleasure. It's just not part of the equation. They're like, would you like to have the hummus or the tahina? And he's like, I don't care. Which one's closer? Which one's cheaper? Yeah, which one's easier? Which one's less calories? I don't know, whatever, but not pleasure. That's not part of that's not the pleasure of the tzaddik is not part of the cheshbon. So when you're talking about what car you're going to get, yeah, he's not thinking about the driver experience. He's thinking about the fact that, the doors lock good for the kids, and he's not thinking about the he's that, that that's the tzaddik has got a different cheshbon, because most of us have a very, our own personal pleasure is a big part of the cheshbon, yeah, a big part of the cheshbon. Not that it would overwhelm, and hurt somebody else for it, but it's still a big part of the cheshbon. Whereas the tzaddik, and by the way, this is the human tzaddik, the tzaddik v'ra'aloi. The tzaddik v'ra'aloi, that's a by the tzaddik v'tovloi, he doesn't have pleasure in that sense. He doesn't have human pleasure. That he wouldn't be able to, like he wouldn't he the chair, the comfortable chair, would be the same thing as the hard chair. He's so, it's not right to say so dislocated from the goof. He's so godly that the physical realm of the pleasures of the body they don't exist to him. So his eating is in a whole different, his eating is just for the energy. There is no concept of, I don't know what it would be like. I don't know what the tzaddik would do on Shabbos, like how the tzaddik gamor, what eating on Shabbos for the tzaddik gamor would be. I don't know what that would be. But anyway, so that's the definition. We'll finish it. That is a really good definition of tov and ra. Tov, the best way of translating tov is selfless or selflessness. And ra is selfishness. And that doesn't mean, when we talk about selflessness, we're not talking about being a schmatter, bichlal. We're talking about a person who doesn't take his pleasure seriously. The less you take your pleasure seriously, the more good you are. And you realize, by the way, that means you won't say anything horrible to anyone. You might like, it doesn't mean, by the way, that you won't upset people by accident. A tzaddik could definitely offend people by not being, he doesn't, he doesn't, he's not so amazing with his words, and he could say the wrong thing here or there, but he would never like vent at his wife with bitter, sharp, horrible words, because that's about pleasure. And he knows that that's not part of the equation. I might have to rebuke my wife, maybe, probably not, but it's not about me having pleasure from my, from my angry outburst. That's not that. So that's what that's really a really very good working definition of 24 hour is how seriously do you take your pleasure? Which is we said that's really the real definition of how seriously you take yourself. How seriously do you take your pleasure? A person who will put somebody else out for their pleasure is a rusher. He's Ra. And a person who won't put himself out for his pleasure, he's a Tzaddik, he's Tov. Okay, that's maybe why Moshe was called Tuvia also. He was Ish Anav Ma'oid. Okay, and next week, B'ezrat Hashem, we'll pick up at Yiras Shemayim. Yud. Okay, Chazak V'Yamatz.